Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so, so much for the many things you've given us this day. And now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us now as we continue our studies as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word forgiveness, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 9. Here we see the Lord teaching us about forgiveness. Now he has power to forgive. It says in Matthew chapter 9, picking up verse 1, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." No, this man didn't come to Jesus, cry out to Jesus, and ask for forgiveness. But he, by his mercy, his grace, came and directly to him and said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee by grace." As it continues, "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his own house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." It's awesome how the Lord has displayed so many different ways that he pours his mercy and his grace upon us in forgiving us and healing us and guiding us and teaching us. It sure is by grace, because we don't deserve it. And it is amazing what he has recorded for us so that we can study that and learn from it and see the various examples of his mercy and grace and forgiveness. If we'll now turn to Matthew chapter 12. Couple verses here in chapter 12 and verse 31, which reads, "Wherefore I say unto you," of course these are the words of Jesus Christ, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." It's a lot of controversy, or I should say, a lot of discussion, a lot of various thoughts concerning what is this blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. We can look back a little bit further there and see the incident that occurred. They were looking at the work of the Lord right there in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, right in front of them, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and some of the other highfalutin folks around, and they were criticizing him. They were saying that the work that he was doing was not of God, that it was of the devil. And that was blaspheming the power and the work of the Holy Ghost. And then we can wonder, is that an indication that this event, that this possibility of blaspheming the Holy Ghost could only be done while Jesus was here doing that work? Or is this something that can continue today? Can someone today blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Can someone speak against the Lord in a way that will be unforgiven them? Some believe, yes, it can be. Because when someone has turned against the Lord and has cursed the Lord and has said that the work of the Lord is of Satan, that is a blasphemy. That is a blasphemy against the Lord Jesus Christ and against the work of the Holy Ghost as well. So in that, they can be sinning against the Holy Ghost, because it is the power of the Holy Ghost that reaches out to folks to call them in to become part of the family. And when someone looks at that kind of a work and then says, no, that's the work of the devil, not the work of God than they are talking against the Holy Ghost. So I believe that this sin can continue to be occurring, that there are still opportunities for folks to sin in such a way that they cannot get forgiveness for, and that is by blaspheming the Holy Ghost, by cursing God, by turning against the work of the Lord, and that these things are done by those that have already reached a point of reprobate, or in the midst of becoming reprobate. And of course we know from the teachings in Romans and so forth that this reprobate mind is someone that the Lord has quit working with. And when the Lord has quit working with someone, the door of opportunity of salvation is closed. And they have no opportunity of forgiveness. Therefore, it can apply to here that they will not be forgiven, neither now nor later. There won't be a second chance later, no purgatory, none of that. But that if they turn down the call of the Holy Ghost, and if they blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, and then that door gets closed, that door doesn't get opened back up. That could apply to this. The reprobate situation could be considered this blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. Someone that have reached this point of blaspheme against the Holy Ghost may be the very ones that he indicates in Romans chapter 1 that have become reprobate, that they have turned so far against the Lord, that they have turned to Satan to a point where the door was closed for them. No more opportunity of forgiveness for them. But be very careful, as it continues to teach us in Romans, that you cannot determine whether someone is reprobate or not. That's only for the Lord to do. So if you have any kind of regret, if you have any kind of remorse, if you have any kind of dread, in a feeling in your heart that you have done something wrong, then you haven't reached reprobate yet. So ask the Lord for forgiveness. He'll cleanse you completely. If you've said things against the Lord, if you've blasphemed, and you have some regret, then that's indicating that the Holy Ghost is still working on you. That conscience that people talk about, that's the influence of the Holy Ghost on someone, nudging them, reminding them, letting them know that, hey, you've done something wrong. But if an individual has reached a point where they are reprobate, they have no dread, they have no remorse, there's nothing left there. They don't regret what they have done, in a sense of feeling like they're ashamed of what they've done. So even ourselves, if we have that within us, if we have a sense of shame, if we have a sense of regret because we have hurt someone or we've said something wrong to the Lord, that's an indication that we haven't reached that level of reprobate, that there is still opportunity for forgiveness. So turn to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and He'll forgive you, wipe it away, remove it as far as the east is from the west from us, and to remember our sins no more, like we've been studying in the Old Testament. All right, let's continue now in the Gospel of Matthew. If you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Pick it up here in verse 21, further teachings from the Lord concerning forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, it reads, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. In other words, just keep on doing it. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. See how important it is for us to be forgiving, not to be carrying grudges around. It's so easy to carry grudges around, but they become painful. They become a real burden. They become a real load on us. But we need to know that we need to truly be forgiving. And just like last time when we were in Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6, where it speaks of verse 14 here, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is so important. If we want forgiveness, we need to be forgiven. Now, this applies to the born-again Christians. Because when you initiate the original relationship with God, when you become a born-again Christian, everything that you have done from that moment past that was wrong, that was a sin, is forgiven you, wiped away clean. But from the moment you become a born-again Christian to the moment that you're there at judgment, everything is going to be looked at. Did you have things in your life? Did you do things in your life that was a sin? Did you have and carry around unforgiveness? If so, that's going to cost you. You're going to be losing rewards. You're going to be losing blessings. You're going to be losing things during this lifetime if you carry around unforgiveness. So we need to truly be forgiving so that we can have all of our sins cleaned up and gone again. Now, we've got to know and understand, when we become born-again Christians, it isn't that we, from that moment forward, live a perfect, clean life with no sin whatsoever. That'd be great if we did. I haven't met someone yet that done that, including myself. But when we stumble, when we mess up, when we carry around a little bit of anger, get rid of that. Get it washed away. It's so much more peaceful when you do that. And then you have that comfort, that peace that passeth all understanding that comes upon you when you truly are forgiving of others, which is what we all really need to do. Yes, it's hard. Sometimes it's very hard. We don't have the ability to wipe it away clean out of our memory. Therefore, it comes back up. The devil uses it to remind us, Oh, you don't want nothing to do with that person because they did this to you before and you know they're going to do it again. So you don't associate with them. You don't go around them at all. You don't even talk to them because you're carrying around a grudge. You're carrying around that burden of unforgiveness. But we need to be forgiving. Difficult, yes, but we still need to do it because that's what the Heavenly Father wants us to do. He gave us the example there. He gave us the parable there about how awesome it is to be forgiven of everything, the huge amount that He has forgiven us of all of our past. So that then we take in and look at that, saying, The Lord forgave us for oh so much, that we can be forgiven of someone else as well. So let's do that. Let's all have truly that full forgiveness for anything and everything somebody has brought up against us. Yes, like I said, it's hard to forget it, but get rid of it. Wipe it away. Ask the Lord to give you peace and ask the Lord to take that away from you so that you can have the kind of relationship the Lord wants us to have with everyone. All right, now if you will turn over to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 11, and a couple of verses here where he continues to reference this forgiveness. in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Once again, emphasizing that same point. It's recorded over in the Gospel of Matthew. And now, if you will, turn over to Luke in chapter 5, in verse 18. Once again, the records of how Jesus Christ has the power and authority to forgive sins. Because he is Lord, ultimate authority over everything. And because of his finished work, he has bought us all back. Therefore, he has power of forgiveness. And even during his earthly ministry, when he was walking about, dealing with others, he had that power and authority to forgive sins given to him by the Heavenly Father. And let's look at that in Luke chapter 5, picking it up in verse 18. Behold, men brought in a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find but by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he saith unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. They were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Another record of that event, that the Lord proclaiming that he has power and authority to be able to forgive sins. And we know that we need to turn to him. When we sin, turn to the Lord, ask for forgiveness. And he can forgive us of those sins, but we need to turn to him and repent. Turn away from our sins and turn to the Lord. All right, now if you will, look at Luke chapter 7. Pick it up in verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Once again, another example of those that were around, seeing what was going on, but yet criticizing. He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. Thy faith in Jesus Christ, the one that can truly forgive us, that can cleanse us from all of our sins, and to get us on that straight and narrow. All right, now let's look at chapter 11, in Luke chapter 11. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, so in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here we see another example of the Lord teaching the disciples to pray, just as you have over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew records a little more of this, and emphasizes how that if we wanted forgiveness, we need to be forgiving. And here in that sample prayer, within those prayers that we're praying, when we're coming to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, we need to proclaim and acknowledge that, yes, we are forgiving others their sins. And truly, truly do that, to forgive others, so that we can have full forgiveness as well. All right, now if you will, turn to Luke in chapter 17. And here we can see a couple verses in Luke chapter 17. Pick it up in verse 3, where it reads, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Once again, it doesn't matter how many times he comes to you, ask for forgiveness, forgive him. And he also teaches us there previously, we need to be forgiven of all others, even when they don't come and ask directly, but especially when they come and ask directly. That can rekindle a relationship. But we still need to be forgiving on those that don't even come to us and ask for forgiveness. Otherwise, we're carrying that burden around on us. And live peaceably, as is possible, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes there's folks that you can disassociate from, that you know you're not going to get along with. It's okay to back off from them, to forgive them, to disassociate yourself from them, because you know it's just going to continue to get worse and worse, and there's going to be more and more conflict. And stay away from that situation. Back off. Forgive them. Get away from them. Turn them over to the Lord. Lift them up. Pray for them. But don't go back associating with them, because it's just going to create more and more rift. It's going to create more and more problem, as it clearly teaches us. All right, now if you will, look at Luke in chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, picking it up here in verse 33. Now this is during the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They've already arrested him, already beat him terribly, put that crown of thorns on his head, and in the process of crucifying him. And as it says here in verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that is a tremendous example of forgiveness that is given to us. Right there in the midst of that horrible, horrible, torturous treatment that he was receiving under the hands of the Romans and the high priests and so forth, that they had turned against him. So much kindness that he had shown, so much love that he had displayed, but yet they still turned against him, crucified him on that cross. And he proclaims, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garment and cast lots, fulfilling the prophecies. The Lord did what needed to be done. He hung on that cross. He took on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. And he gave up the ghost. Died on that cross. They buried him. He rose again the third day. Stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching, ascended to the Father, sits on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, the propitiation or payment for our sins. And we merely need to come to him and ask for forgiveness, and he will truly forgive us our sins. And we got to all realize that we have that opportunity of forgiveness. As it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We've got to also know that we can have our sins removed as far as the east is from the west, as it teaches us in the Old Testament. But we also know in Romans that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's saved from our sins, saved from the judgment of those sins when we lift them up and give them to the Lord. So let's all do that very thing. Let's turn to the Lord. Let's turn away from our sins. Come to him and ask for forgiveness for everything that we've ever done wrong, and for us also to have the power and the ability to be forgiving of others out there as well. Let's all do that. Be forgiving and get forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your word. It's amazing. Anything we need, we can find it in your word. Thank you oh so much for it. And thank you oh so much for forgiveness. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you.